We're going, and I'll count us in with 5, 4, 3, 2. You're listening to Mike. Flowing with Famous, your All Fresno podcast. I am Joshua T, a.k.a. Famous Whitewater, and with me always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
That is I.
Hello.
Hello.
And we're here to talk about Fresno, because that's what we do.
Yeah. Fresno?
How awesome and or not awesome.
Fresno. Oh, usually like totally awesome.
I know. It's totally like, I think it's probably like 80% to 20% of time that we talk about when it's not awesome.
Yeah, well, for us, we're like dudes.
Right.
Pro Fresnans.
Right.
I wonder what two Fresno haters podcast would be for the Famous.
It would probably be a podcast more people would listen to.
Yeah, it would be way more popular.
People would get behind that. They'd be, oh my God. Especially if it were people who were like just real dumb and didn't know yes. anything about Fresno.
Yeah,
they're like, Fresno. And just, you know.
There's nothing to do.
If it was like an extended KMJ segment on downtown or something. That'd make a great podcast.
I don't even go down there. What's down there? There's nothing down there.
The other day, they were talking about, we'll actually talk about this in a second, about Granite Park. And this caller called in, and he was just like, I have two kids, and I just, there's nothing to do in this town, There's just nothing to do in Fresno. And it was hilarious because it was, I think, last weekend, 2 weekends ago, when it was like 1,000 things happening in town that weekend. You know, it was like Clovis Fest and the Highland Gathering and Games and, 17 different other events. And yet you have this guy calling in and saying, oh, there's nothing to do in Fresno. I'm thinking, like, where are you not getting your news, man? Because... Yeah. Fresno, for the most part, if you're paying attention, probably has too much going on.
Yes.
You know, like more than the reasonable person could do. So, anyway.
Well, I'm thinking.
We're here to talk about all that good Fresno
stuff. Yeah, tie that up, to segue that.
Segue that.
Josh and I are part of a team, a Creative Fresno branch puts on this Fuse Fest, a local music festival.
Local music festival.
We're speaking. We should be speaking of how well it went right now. Is what we should be doing, but we're not. What's happening, Josh?
Well, for those who were questioning where Fuse was this year. It wasn't, and it's not going to happen this year. And there are a myriad of reasons, I guess, for that. But I think the big one is the people who were organizing it, yourself, Mike, me, and Hillary Blake, and some others just weren't really feeling it anymore. So... decided to take a step back and let it be as that.
And
I'll flip it like that, But it wasn't like it was a
decision,
right? To walk away from, but it seems like, well, okay. So the real truth about it is when the festival first took place, there was no music festivals in Fresno. And Mike Oz actually had written a column about that and about how Modesto had their X Fest. I think Visalia had a festival at that point, music festival, and Fresno didn't. And so Creative Fresno decided that was something that they should be looking into, and so they sort of put together a task force of sorts to do it, And then 2 or 3 years later, it finally came to be. And whatever, what, 7 years later, 7 years after that, here we are. And we don't have that problem anymore.
Right.
With festivals not happening.
Yeah.
In fact, we've gone the other way.
It is, I think. It is too far on the other way now, almost, right. It feels like.
And, you know, the ideas, the things that we wanted out of the Fuse Festival, downtown, local, music, they're happening now, and they're happening all the time. And so we felt, or I felt anyway, and I think you could probably agree that it was time for us to just take a step back and let people who really want to promote music festivals do their thing. And, you know, if at some point we need another music festival downtown, then we could, you know, step back in and think about it. But for right now, if you look at the things that Creative Fresno can offer as an organization, you know, and as us as organizers, offer the music industry, the music scene here in town, I don't think that a festival is really it. I think there are people who are more passionate about it and do it better. And so, hey, let them run with it. And anyone who is wanting to go to a music festival, there is one coming up October 17th. There's two, actually. One, yeah, in downtown Fresno, Summer Sweat. And then actually the Tastemaker Festival down in Visalia.
And Spanspec is happening next month.
And Spanspec is also happening
this month, if you want to.
Yeah, in October
24th.
So there are plenty of options for people that wanting to get out and see live music. And you know, the Fuse brand is still, you know, it's a project of Creative Fresno, so they still have final say on the things that they want to do with it. And, you know, there might be someone there who thinks that a music festival is still a worthwhile endeavor for the organization and might push for it, so you might see it again. Mm-hmm. As far as the Fuse Fest that you and I were a part of, and Blake and Hillary and some other people, I think we're sort of done with it, sadly.
Yeah, it's on a shelf, and the festival, we put it in storage, and like you're saying, we may pull it back out again, or somebody else, we may give the keys to somebody else.
Yeah,
it's certainly possible, but I think at this point, we're gonna be sort of being support the scene,
right,
in other ways, or whatever. Right. Just may not be a festival.
I think that, you know, if you look at what the Fuse was originally created for, it was sort of to support the musicians, support the venues, support the scene, and we don't need it in quite that same way anymore. So I think, you know, the venues are doing a fairly good job, of the downtown venues especially, of promoting themselves and showing what they're capable of. The bands are doing a very good job and have lots and lots of opportunities to play these types of things.
Yeah.
Like I said,
that was a big one for me. It was like, in the earlier years, Fuse was sort of necessary, I've felt like. And now this year, yeah, blatantly, like, the bands that, a lot of the bands that we like to that play, or the bands that we would want to see play, we had already played in like three festivals leading up to what would Fuse
Catacomb,
be.
Catacomb, Summer Sweat, Common Ground, Grizzly Fest. So,
and we sort of still have that niche, but it's like, it was like there was a month, I think, where it was just every weekend had something similar.
Well, and there definitely is, there has been a major sort of music festival every month, I think, since Catacomb Party. That was in April. May was the Grizzly Fest. In June, there was the KFSR had a music festival. In July, there was the Summer Sweat. In August, there was the Common Ground. In September, maybe that one was in September. Anyway, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, we're now having those similar kinds of events all the time, you know, the multiple bands, multiple stages. So I think that, it's just the need for it isn't as immediate as it was when we started. And, you know, let some new blood come in and do their thing. And we can support it in different ways. And hopefully Fuse can maybe reorganize its mission mm-hmm. and come back and do something equally as influential and necessary. So, yeah. While we're on it, just what your favorite Fuse memory? And then maybe we can call for listeners to call in and tell us their Fuse.
Yeah, that'd
favorite
be cool.
Fuse memory. Some people have theirs.
I think, I've gone back to it before, and so it's kind of boring, but I still was my favorite thing was because nobody was really at that, besides the being an all local music festival, we had this thing of always having continuous music.
Oh,
and nobody
right.
had done that really that we had ever seen. And so at the 1 year we had two stages inside of Frank's place, and we were just all like all of us working volunteering that year that we're putting it together all kind of found ourselves in that Frank's place at that time when the first band that was going to pass off to another band immediately was going to happen. We all kind of wanted to see how that would roll out, and it happened like perfect, like exactly how we wanted it to happen. Where I forget who was actually playing, but other than trumpet, passed it to trumpet solo. Who was
right.
it that passed it to? I forget, but and so trumpet solo immediately takes over and like, hey, we are trumpet solo, and called everybody over from the other stage.
Right.
Everybody walks over their stage and they just boom, played perfectly.
And it was like right as the I think it might have been Sparkle Jet, and it was right as they like kind of just last beat, last note of their song,
mm-hmm.
And trumpet solo, you know, yeah, kicks into it. And that was a great.
I just remember we all kind of looked at each other and we're just like, yes.
I thought the, the year that we were the most spread out, but it was the year that we were at the Downtown Club, we were at Club One, and some other places. I thought it was just a lot of fun year. There was a lot of walking around, and I thought the vibe of the whole thing was really cool. I thought the stages were really, the venues were great. Downtown Club, I thought, was a really good venue. Really liked that year a lot. So
that, the Eli Fest.
Eli Fest, yeah.
Where we had Eli Reyes, drummer.
Eli Reyes.
He had like five bands that year.
At least, yeah.
And he had the marathon through the whole thing.
But, I think it's definitely a sad kind of thing that it's not happening again. But at the same time, you know, I don't think you can get – I don't want to get caught up in the thing of, like, having to do it every year if it's not going to be a really great event mm-hmm. and we're not really offering people something that's new, different, better than what they can get on any other given weekend. So yeah. There it is.
That's it.
Next topic.
The fair's coming. Speaking of local things to have – are you gonna go this year?
I always go for work, so I'll be there at least one day for a while. But I'll probably get there, maybe at least once, maybe a couple times. I'm not too terribly interested in any of the music acts or anything that are coming. Not to say that they're not great. I mean, I think they have some good choices. Just not anyone that I'm, you know, very eager to see.
Yeah. So.
But there's a lot of other stuff that I think is really interesting. They have the like the first stage, the first part of the Fresno County History Museum.
Okay.
That's opening, and that, so that's gonna that should be really cool. They're gonna have a bunch of.
Is that going along with the? Because I saw that the courthouse, the old courthouse thing, is there now.
Yeah, they're bringing in. I don't know if it's actual cupola. Is that what you call it? The top there of the courthouse. If it's the actual one or if it's a replica one.
I think it's the actual one. I want to say it's actual because I know
it exists.
Yeah.
So I mean, it is. It's very possible that they got it down there. But yeah, so it's part of that in the museum. I think it's a bunch of different organizations have all like put in to make this thing happen. The Athletic Hall of Fame and the Memorial Building people and you know what I'm saying,
like,
the Army veterans,
right?
People at the Memorial. So yeah, so it's just a Fresno County History Museum, and I think they have a bunch of cool stuff going on, and it's only part of it that's open, I guess, this year. And then it's supposed to be completed by 2016. So, but that should be really cool. And then they have a bunch of other like free kind of events, a BMX bike trick thing. They have a they're gonna put up a half pipe and have a bunch of people doing tricks, and they'll be doing like daily shows on that and some kind of sandcastle people building a giant sandcastle throughout the whole fair.
And then, of course, there's always the horse racing.
Horse races, that's correct.
There's, what's your favorite thing to eat?
Oh, man. I always get, like, the rolled tacos.
Huh.
And,
I've never done that.
I always get, like, lame stuff.
You get boring like stuff, ass like shit you can get anytime.
I love Orange Julius. Why the hell do you get Orange Julius at the fair?
Do they have that? Oh, yeah, they do have a booth.
Yeah,
huh?
So that's always it. I like to try the deep-fried stuff.
Something special. Last year, they didn't have that guy, right?
What's that?
Last year, they didn't have that guy there, right? Or
They had a different dude.
They had a different guy, but it was similar stuff.
Not like the... Not the camera,
the popular guy, yeah.
But this year they're going to have somebody doing deep fried peanut butter, and also deep fried butter. Just
butter. Finally, we've hit the bottom.
I don't even know, which is like I've been waiting for that actually because I had heard that that was a thing, and now we finally have.
Like
it.
I would.
So I'll try it.
It just seems like it would just meld in with the fry, and then you're just having fry, fried, deep fried fried.
I don't know. Fried. I don't have any clue how it works, but there it is. So, and a bunch of other stuff. I got the list at work of all the new food, and it's
I wish I've never really been to other fairs, but it seems like I don't think it. Other fairs would be that much. I guess I've been to Cal Expo once.
Yeah.
It wasn't any more impressive.
Right.
And what about, I'm sure you've probably been to Paso, the.
I've been to Mid-State Fair.
Yeah, Mid-State Fair. Is that better?
Minus
the ignoring the music acts. Like,
oh, in terms of like.
Just the fair.
I didn't think it was as nice. Fair wise, and I actually didn't think that it was nice. Like the music wise, I mean, I was there to see Judas Priest, and so obviously they got a band that I wanted to see. But I mean, the venue that they have there, I don't think is it's probably larger. Can seat more people than the Paw Ball, but it's not nicer.
Huh.
And then the rest of the fair wasn't anything any more spectacular than the Fresno. Right. And you know, the Fresno fairs are fair, and right. it sort of feels like home, you know? So you go someplace else and you're like, oh, this is tacky.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's the same thing in Fresno, but at least it's our, yeah. like, our tacky stuff.
I don't know.
So.
There's like, it's pretty solid. Like, I just like how you were speaking earlier, how the historic stuff and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's very, like, there's more permanent kind of things now, and like,
oh yeah, yeah, they've definitely added a bunch of stuff.
That, you know, tree, that the one that they did a few years ago with the whole tree, the thing,
tree and house or whatever.
It,
yeah,
it's really like, I went through it with my daughter for the first time last year. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's,
well, I think they were saying they've spent close to $16 million in the last decade of like capital improvements for the fair. So mm-hmm. you know, yeah, it's definitely like up there with any fair in California, I would say. So,
yeah,
what's up? I enjoy it. So people should go anyway.
Right.
Starts on the 7th of October, and then it runs through to the 18th or something, 19th, I think. So,
well,
and yeah.
Speaking of large spaces.
Large.
I don't know why I have to think up some sort of segue for everything.
We have to segue. We can't
Granite Park, maybe Granite Park. Coming back. Seems like it will be coming back.
It's on the comeback.
On the back, yo. So Terrence Frazier.
Terrence Frazier, a local developer.
Fresno State. I just remember as a Fresno State baseball player.
Yeah. He was with the Oakland A's for a
game. Yeah, he was. He was in the organization. I don't think he made it out.
And I wish I could remember the story because it's a great story. It was like, you know, that year that they were on strike.
Mm-hmm.
And he was essentially a scab, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so they called him in for one game, and he played one game, but he got like paid for the whole like, season. Like, not for the season, but, oh, man, I'd have to look it up, but it's a very interesting story about how he got his time in at the with the A's. Anyway, yeah. So, and he's the one most recently threw a rock through the window, the unbreakable.
Oh yeah,
glass or whatever.
we talked about.
So anyway,
yeah.
he and a business partner proposed a deal to the city council. City council accepted it to sort of remake Granite Park and put the fields, mm-hmm. the baseball fields back in there with, I think, an additional field, actually, right?
I didn't see that, but
I think because now
I know they're going to have a walking path, like a, you know, like a walking trail. That was like that didn't have that before.
Right. An additional. So, you know, and the idea is really just to kind of do what Granite Park was supposed to do,
right.
which is create another like, destination spot
mm-hmm.
on that side of town, and I think it'll be good. I mean, I always thought Granite Park was
sand volleyball courts. That's one of
things. Volleyball courts. That's right, and a volleyball court, which is really cool. So yeah, I think I want to say there was going to be four baseball diamonds or whatever, and then a sand volleyball court, walking stuff.
A two-story restaurant that will be built by the entrance.
Oh, yeah.
With an arcade and multipurpose rooms, and after-school programs, and then TV sets that will be showing the games on the fields, like, you know, whatever is being played on the field.
Oh, yeah, closed-circuit TV, right? Yeah. So you can watch your kids play
right.
while you're in the restaurant or whatever.
So,
that's really cool.
Sounds good.
No, I thought that, you know, when the public house, you remember when the public house?
Yeah, I love the public house. I wish that
really
was still there.
I liked that place. And I went there, you know, not often.
Yeah, I went there pretty regularly.
The time, but
on
I went
the
there
reg.
Several times. And I thought that it was really, you know, there was potential there. And then, you know, Cabo Wabo was almost there.
Hey, I went there a few times.
You know. And then whatever it became after that.
And then the Victory Grill is still there, right? I haven't been over there in a while.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Yosemite Falls is in the old...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
which is fine. But, you know, I think that it is, it has the potential to really change that neighborhood in a very positive way, and maybe in the way that the original, you know, that they thought it would when they originally built the place. So I'm all about it.
And Terrence Fraser's the one doing those apartments, lofts on Fulton. Is it Fulton? Yep.
Yeah, Uptown.
Yeah, Uptown.
Is it Uptown? Yeah.
Maybe.
The right there between Tower and
Before you
and
get
downtown.
To 180, between Tower and 180.
On Fulton, yeah.
On Fulton, yeah.
And, which, they're, I think those are going to be really nice. I'm looking forward to seeing them completed. They're on the way. I mean, I think they're already framing
the
buildings
cool.
and stuff. So it's definitely coming along. And I think those will be really cool. I think Terrence really has a good idea of what he wants to do and how he wants to support the community. And I think it's cool. I'm very excited.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think
I will go there.
I think it's time for a music break, bro.
Oh, music break.
Do you even music break, bro?
I do not. I do not.
Your life is a music break.
So, band of the episode.
Grizzly City Boys?
The Grizzly City Boys.
What's up with these guys?
The Grizzly City Boys. So, for Sean, before he...
Fresno Hip Hop Artist.
Was for Sean. Well, I guess he was still for Sean, but, you know, before he kind of broke... He hung out with these dudes, the Scooper guys that were the Grizzly City Boys. And I want to say maybe the original group was called Section 8 or something like that.
Okay.
And it was this guy, Otis Reed, and Omar Ara,
mm-hmm.
Pizza Halo.
He played Fuse Fest.
Halo the Human, Pizza Halo,
yeah.
And for Sean.
Pizza Halo.
It was these guys in the Grizzly. I guess later maybe they became the Grizzly City Boys. And so when Fashawn had his Grizzly Bear party thing in December, Grizzly Bear? I don't know, whatever it was called, his big show in December at Strummer's, he had these guys come up and they did a couple of songs and it was really cool. So I guess... you know, maybe either from that or somehow they decided to get together and they recorded an EP with this local producer, this guy called his name's Jukebox, and he produced this EP for him, and it's coming out this week. And really cool, they have a single out called Early 2000s.
My mama told me not to trust these hoes. My father never told me nothing, cause that nigga was gone. I bought my first nickel bag at 13 years old. I got my first piece of ass from a girl I know. Back when every black girl said they don't give dome. And Juvenile Slow Motion used to be that song. I was the juvenile posted trying to be that grown. And bitches had snapback before ring back tones. They have a job cause my grandma I would lean back on. Dropped out of high school so I could make some clean rap songs. 16, now my dream can really be that long. I had a chick that was happy and the meat's half long. I knocked her up, but she never let me meet that mom. She had a miscarriage, so I had to leave that alone. They don't respect you as a man, but they need that bone. 93727, be that zone. Be that
it was
zone.
The early 2000s. You know, 4XTs. $5 all to get you.
It was the early 2000s. Way before I had a seat. A minor, but the hustle major league.
It was the early 2000s.
For them hoes, niggas always had a scheme. And if the friend ugly, you take one for
it
the
was
team.
The early 2000s. Kings, Canyon, and Peach. Young and dumb, running wild in the streets.
My father told me never trust these niggas. Mama said respect women and look after your sisters. I was a fan of sipping lean and never try hard liquor. Playing around with guns and put you in the pine box quicker. Nigga.
bitches rocking K-Swiss in the jackets with the fur on it. Young niggas blaze chronic all day and play Sonic. Leaders of the new. I tell them to pay homage, spit vomit. Life's a bitch tied up, she like bondage, it's a sad thing. Our black queens turned to crack fiends. Took her baby from her, now she living out a bad dream. Last seen on the block, chasing after that cash cream. Just to get a hit, she letting any nigga tag team. Grew up too fast, everything is temporary. Don't a damn thing last. At least I have a place to stay and don't dig out of the trash. Forever grateful, never focus on the things I don't have. Reminisce
it
on
was
the past.
It was the early 2000s. You know 4XTs, $5 ought to get you.
It was the early 2000s. Way before I had a C, a minor, but the hustle major league.
It was the early 2000s.
For them hoes, niggas always had a scheme. And if the friend ugly, you take one for
it was the
game.
Early 2000s. Kings, Canyon, and Peach,
young and dumb, running wild in the streets.
Way back when I had a thing for Felicia and a gang full of heathens right around 2003.
I remember.
Way
that.
Before I ever saw a Visa, couldn't buy a slice of pizza, plenty nights, nigga, I didn't eat.
I remember
when
that.
All I wanted was the fattest watch, a Jeff Hamilton jacket, a bigger Magnavox.
Yes.
A pair of New Balances, wish I had a box. Ghetto boy, swat, shoulda signed a rap a lot. Was infamous for cutting class, flirting and touching ass on purpose.
So there it is.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, it's a cool song. I listened to it on repeat. They sent it to me last week or the week before, you know, it came out. And they sent it over, and I think it's really good. Definitely, it's interesting because I feel like the Central Valley really has its own style of hip hop that is different from
Los
know,
Angeles
probably has this kind of stuff, kind of similar thing. But I feel like I can hear certain things that are like, oh yeah, these are definitely Central Valley guys. So
yeah.
It's cool. They're also, so they're having, depending on when this podcast goes up, they're actually having a release show on Art Hop. So on the 1st of October at Liquid Fetish, and they'll all be playing. And so that'll be really cool. It should be a really cool show. And, I mean, individually, all those guys, I think, are great. So you put them together, I think they have some cool stuff. There it is. I would suggest that if people who are listening to the podcast, if they have, you know, artists, bands that we should be looking at, that they should let us know.
Sure.
Because, you know, we don't know everything.
Mm-mm.
And there might be some really cool bands in town that we're missing. I don't think there are, but there might be.
It's your job to know these things, so not a lot gets past you, bro.
Which would make me feel real bad if someone was like,
someone
hey,
discovered
have you heard
one
of
you hadn't heard of whatever that's band. Like totally good.
I don't know who. Like, I don't know who that is.
Dude.
It happens every now and again, though.
Yeah.
When, you know, someone will come out of nowhere. And I think there's a whole group of new bands rising up out of the Chinatown Youth Center scene.
Mm-hmm.
And over at Dynamite Vinyl now is having shows over there.
Oh, okay. Have you seen their stage? Did they have a stage in there?
Group of kid bands showing up. And I'm getting too old.
That's good.
To keep up. So
does Dynamite Vinyl have a stage in there?
They have a room in back that I don't even know if they really ever use for shows or not. The shows that I've seen, I mean, I haven't been to very many there, but you know, they've had the stuff I've seen on Facebook and stuff. They set up kind of just in the back of the store. They clear out the racks and stuff and set up in the back of the store. So, but they do have a room in the very back. It's very small. It's definitely like, you know, you couldn't fit a large size band back there or a crowd. You know, if you were expecting more than 25 people, they would have to be inside the store. So, but it's cool. And I think they have a good scene growing there. And I would suggest people follow them and then go to those shows, find out about these bands, and then let us know.
Let us know how stupid we are.
Right, for not getting out and seeing all these cool bands.
You have been to a place, I hear, through gossip, that you have been to a place that I've been wanting to go to, a brand new place that's opened up. I was seeing if you could give us a review of Rocket Dog.
Rocket Dog, oh man. Okay, so Rocket Dog is over by Heroes Comics, right? Yeah, kind of right next door. It is a gourmet, I don't want to even say hot dogs because they're not, they don't have like hot dogs. They're all sausages, brats, and whatnot, and beer. And so craft beer. And they have a decent, fairly decent selection of craft beer. They have better bottles, I think, than actually on tap, although they have Full Circle and a couple others. I think
You don't see Full Circle on tap outside of Full Circle very much.
I'll tell you what, I've seen it Rocket Dog, and I saw it at Peeves the other day.
Dang, they're just getting all out there with the kegs.
So, yeah, I don't know. But anyway, so, you know, gourmet brats and brews. Good. You know, all of their stuff is very, like, first of all, it's awesome. They have homemade chips that are homemade ridiculous, chips. Like homemade potato chips that are just ridiculous. Probably the best homemade chips I've had in town anyway, and a huge order. I had to take them home. But if you're looking for just like something simple, like you want just a like hot dog kind of plainish, then this isn't the place for you.
Yeah, yeah.
You
know?
So it's you kind of have to be. I'm sure they could make something plain for you. Like I just want a hot dog, like a brat and a bun. But you know they have some kind of crazy stuff. I got the Lucky Luciano, which is like an Italian sausage with mozzarella and all sorts of stuff, and it was very difficult to eat in a good way. You know, I made a mess of myself. The decor and everything is really nice. They have an outdoor patio that I think would be great in the fall-ish and spring-ish time.
Yeah.
Under
90 degrees.
Right. or in close to the evening. We went in the afternoon. It wasn't that bad, actually. It was kind of nice. They have shade and stuff, but we went there, and when we got there, there was a lot of people there, and I was a little bit overwhelmed because there were, like, so many people that I couldn't see the menu, and I couldn't see, like, what kind of beer they had, and I was just like, I don't know what's going on. And it's kind of that fast food style where you order at the counter, and then they bring it to you.
Okay.
And it's small. And so I think, you know, they can definitely get overwhelmed, and I think they probably were a little bit overwhelmed at the beginning because a lot of people were showing up because so many people were talking about how awesome it was. But, yeah, definitely I would recommend go to it. And
there's a reco from Josh.
There you go. Go. It's really good. I mean, it's definitely one of the kinds of places we need more of. I'm sad, like everything else. I'm sad it's not downtown. I think it'd be really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, if they could just really actually recreate exactly what they have there, with the same like access and that kind of stuff, and just put it downtown, I think it would be awesome.
Yeah.
But you know, you can't beat being right there on Blackstone. So
apparently,
I guess it's on Shaw.
Yeah, on Shaw.
Just
in between 41 and Blackstone.
Yeah.
It's that next to Heroes spot,
right,
bro.
Right next to Heroes. Yeah, I was gonna go look at comic books, and then I did not.
And then it turns out I didn't. You got exhausted. Then it turns out
I just ate my hot dog, took my chips home. I had a beer. I don't remember what I had, but it was good. So,
well,
Rocket Dog.
It'd be good on the maybe when the Fulton Mall is no longer a mall. somebody over a rock a dog if this ever happens. Supposedly, what everyone keeps, I keep hearing, oh, it's going to be in the fall, and now I'm hearing, oh, January or February, we're going to start ripping it out.
2016 is what I'm hearing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But who knows? I mean,
we've been talking about this for like 4 years.
It's coming. The mall, the road is coming.
If you say so. I did see where the city recently, somebody, an artist or somebody, local artist or somebody was kind of like reminding them about, don't be forgetting about the art you got there. And the city was like, oh, no, we're not going to forget about it. Don't worry. Well,
there's definitely, I mean, there is a group of people who are still threatening to sue or threatening to kind of hold up the process because they're afraid. In fact, I just read recently there was an article in an architectural magazine. Mm-hmm. talking about that the whole thing and how you know, there are a group of people who are really kind of upset and don't think that the city is doing its due diligence to protect the art and to really protect like the what they see as the architectural importance of the mall. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really interesting read because it talked about some of the history and you know, how the mall ended up in the place that it's at now. And, you know, we all know kind of the story, but it was interesting to read. And then, you know, there were some quotes and things from some of the artists, Stan Bitters, and excuse me, some different people who actually have work on the mall and you know, what their thoughts on it were. So who knows? I mean, I definitely, there are people, like I said, who are threatening to kind of hold up the process or, you know, but I don't feel like they have a better idea of what to do other than preserve the thing. But what, you know, I'm not even sure what that actually means at this point. You're not going to bring back the mall to the way it was when it opened in 1964. I mean, it's just not going to happen. We need to do something.
Yeah. I just, on our Twitter this week, I retweeted somebody had a picture of the Fulton Mall in 1964. So when it was brand spanking new. Oh, and it looks freaking amazing. Like, it looks like Disneyland.
Oh yeah, and it had, you know, the little trolleys that were running back and forth.
Exactly,
everywhere.
That's exactly the picture.
And it had, and I mean, if you think about it, it was probably at that time, you know, like the most, the awesomest like version of River Park you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, of course, you know, it should have done beautiful, but you know. History, downtowns were not doing well at that time anywhere. And so, you know, you can't go back and change the way things happen. You can just look to the future.
I think the energy, the anti speaking as a pro mall person, I think that trying to stop it from opening up the traffic is. You're spinning your wheels and using your energy unwisely at this point. And at this point, I think if you want to do something, you're doing, like we were talking about before, is making sure they don't mess up the art, making sure it's not, they don't do it cheaply. You know, they don't just like, street.
Here it is.
Now there's a street. Right. See you later. Make sure it's a unique. You're going to put a street in. It's going to be nice and unique, and it's going to be pedestrian friendly and
area.
Yeah,
and all that good stuff.
Just making sure all that stuff is going to be done, because I think at this point, just stopping it completely is just. I mean, something has to be done with it, and they're not going to revamp it the way it is and just clean it up and make it nice. It's just not going to happen, as much as I kind of would like to see that. It's just, I know it's not going to happen. So
yeah,
let's go with where the money is.
It could happen if you had one person who was a multi-billionaire and could afford to buy the entire the entirety of it and put something in, like, you know, someone did with Fig Garden Village. You know, if you had someone who could buy the entirety of the mall and say, okay, we own all of this now.
Mm-hmm.
But you have so many individual property owners that that's never going to happen. So.
Yeah.
So the Fulton Mall.
There we go. We got some Fulton Mall.
We got it in. We always
had to do
talk
it.
About the mall at least once. Yeah.
So now I think it's time to play.
Oh, you know, before we do this, I have one more thing I want to talk about.
Record scratch.
We're pretty close. We're pretty close to time here. We'll try to make it. Fresno State.
Oh.
I don't really care about football. I don't.
But so now, when they're terrible, now you want to talk about them.
What?
And so now that they're terrible and they,
well, no,
they get drunk.
They, I mean, I don't really know. I just know what I've seen coming across the news, and it's not necessarily good. They're having quarterback troubles, right?
Yes, very much so.
So they one guy got injured.
Yep, the one guy that was, because they basically, this has been happening for 2 years now, where they can't figure out a good, you know, post-Carr era, they cannot figure out a solid everyday starter quarterback. And that's just been going on this season as well. But this freshman they got started looking like he was showing these signs of, like, this guy may be something. And then he gets hurt and he's out for the year.
And then his backup.
That same night, his backup
gets arrested.
Arrested.
In some kind of crazy, I don't know if it's crazy, it might not have been crazy, but a party.
Yeah.
So he's arrested, another football player, and some soccer women.
A soccer girl,
player,
yeah.
I'm like, I would have, I feel like that would have been a party to be at.
Hell yeah.
Or whatever it was they were doing, who knows.
But they were, the soccer player and the lineman were basically just trying to stop Greeny from getting arrested. The quarterback.
Like, hey, don't arrest
them. Yeah, they're just like, don't be getting arrested. Do you know who he is? Kind of thing.
Too.
And then they're like, well, shut up. You're arrested now, too.
Oh, man. Well, so here's my question. Is this bad for, like, I mean, it's not, you know, samurai sword
than
bad. It's not like shooting people for drugs bad,
right? It's not basketball Tarkanian bad, but
is it you know, because there's some question about whether the penalty that came down, whether it was enough, and you know, so yeah, I mean,
I didn't think it was a very big deal. I mean, I care because you don't want their, you know, you don't want the program looking bad. But in reality, it's just like,
you don't, we're just talking
about, we're talking about a 20-year-old drinking at a party, at a college party. So it's like, yeah, and it's not like he was driving. You know, thank God he wasn't dumb enough to go driving or something. So it's just like, this is going to happen every once in a while at a college. Doesn't matter if it's Fresno State or not. This stuff happens, and I guarantee this happens a lot that we just don't hear about because it's not big enough to make national news, but it's big enough to make, you know, everyone locally knows what's going on. So I'm pretty sure that kind of, you know, getting public intoxication arrested happens pretty regularly, but just, it's not that big a deal. The bigger deal is just how the team's just kind of terrible this year. Everything comes from the football program.
Right.
Like in most schools, that's the way it is in college.
Sure.
Like the money, that's the pretty much the only money generator is the football program. So when the football program is bad, then that's bad for money.
So do you think this kid will get to play?
I think so. Like, I didn't even pay attention to how long they planned to set them.
I think they set them out one game, and then they're like, but then they never really what I gathered from the stories, and I didn't follow it completely, but was like, they didn't even say really like what was going to happen. They're just like, well, he'll get punished. Don't worry about it.
We'll take care of it.
All right. Well, if listeners have any thoughts on that one too, I'd like to know. Because people who know more about these kind of things than me, whether or not we should really care.
At Flowing with Pod this. On Twitter. No.
Okay, now I think you're probably right. We can go into our plug.
Plug it up. Plug it up. Plug it up.
You can start on this one.
Oh, hey, you may be wondering, when we're on our schedule, every other Monday is a new Flowing. Mm-hmm, but this week it came out on a Wednesday, and that is because it is International Podcast Day. That would be September 30th, and I wanted to do something special for our little network, and so we have every show has something going on International Podcast Day, which is
wonderful.
Today, if you're listening, if you're a subscriber and listening to this the day it drops. And the schedule of Flowing with Famous released at 7 a.m. Get Off My Podcast at 11 a.m. Dorktown, a special dork edition of Dorktown at 5.
Midday Dorktown.
Yeah, 5 p.m.
Midweek Dorktown.
Well, it's like not going to be a normal episode. It's going to be like a little weird thing I'm putting together. And
it's a best of. Is it a best of?
Yeah, no. And that's too hard to do.
It's just Bell's cussing.
It's just Bell. Oh, I've thought about doing that too. It would just take forever, but still, it'd be good. Just all of Bell's is F-bombs.
It's just every
it'd be a five-hour
said episode. Something disgusting on the show.
And then at 10 p.m., a live Perfect Pour. We're going to go live. I've never done a podcast of all the years, done like a full episode, just recorded it live, and it's going to be on Periscope.
Are you scared about that?
I don't think so. I think I'll just fall into, I hope not. Because we've been Periscoping before we go on every week the past couple months, and just kind of getting used to it. So, yeah, we'll be on the Perfect Pour Pod on Periscope or Twitter, whichever. Same thing if you want to watch on Periscope. And we'll be doing it live.
All right. So that there. Sounds fun. That's on Wednesday.
And also, Paula Lloyd, one of our favorite bee writers.
Yes.
Paula Lloyd, former guest on Flowing with Famous back in the day. She is kind of exhausted her stories as far as ones that are printable.
And
so she's like kind of making a call out to whoever in the past of maybe, because when she originally retired and the bee just sort of shredded everything that she was working on, basically, you know, stuff she hadn't got to yet as far as Ask Paula questions.
They just threw them out.
Yeah, they just tossed them.
They just burned them.
So then she came back, and so she's kind of reached a point where she's ready for new questions. So if you have a Fresno question you've always wondered about, email Paula and get it out there. There was one I totally wanted to ask her. We had come up with on the show, and now I completely forget it. What it was?
Dang.
I forgot. Oh, we'll remember at some point. But there, and also our friends at Spanspick Festival.
Yes.
Get ready for that October
24th.
Spanspick.
And then lineup, man. The lineup looks so good this year. They did a really good job.
Lance Canales, Light Thieves, Tokyo Death March is coming back for this, coming apparently. Back. Which one of my favorite all time local bands. Basura, Kaleidoscope, St. X, Waterbox. St. X,
great, cool little indie band.
Waterbox Incorporated, The Gilligans,
yes,
Jukebox, Green Giant and Nesto.
Is that Jukebox? J-U-K.
Yeah, J-U-K-E-B-A-W-X.
That's the guy who produced the Grizzly Boys. Okay. He's a local producer here in town, and he'll be down there as well. So, awesome.
They're gonna have, and then they always have art too incorporated with it, and they're gonna have craft beer on tap too. I don't think they've had that before.
Correct.
Maybe, probably.
And if you haven't been out there, I mean, it's just really, it's cool, man. It really is like one of those things where, like, if you really want to understand not just Fresno, but like the Central Valley and what it is that we're all about, you know,
right.
It's worth it just to go out there and hang out for a night, see some really cool bands. You're supporting the city and the city's art scene, and it's a little tiny place, you know, so it's not like... Right. It's not like Fresno, but it's really cool. So,
That's what I've got. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will plug my band. It'll go back. We had a couple of shows actually recently. We have a couple of shows coming up in November. Nothing really here locally in October, although I think we're playing in Stockton. And then soon we'll have our CD or our album release show. And I think we're going to try to get that out at Taiga Sequoia.
Cool.
So,
good spot to do it.
Yeah, it's a great spot to have it. And I think, you know, I like that place. I hang out there. And, I generally, when we do these kind of things, want to go to places that I like to hang out at, you know, as opposed to just having it at, you know, whatever club or something, because they'll have us trying to work with people who I like and feel comfortable and at home in their venue. So so that should be coming up, and we'll definitely talk about that more as it gets closer. And then I'll plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com. And again, if you people are into the stuff that we're talking about here, they can follow me there. Me and other writers, because we don't just talk about the stuff that I do. We talk about everybody's stuff, so...
Sounds good.
I think that's it. I think we did a good job here today.
Tell
Mike.
Your Fresno friends about the show, man.
Right.
Help us out.
If you have people who are into Fresno, you don't have to live in Fresno.
That's true. If you like local talk.
Yeah. But definitely listen, and you can wax nostalgic with us about different Fresno things. And if you want to offer up suggestions on things that we should discuss, please do. You can reach out to us on Twitter and Gmail.
I'm the Fresnan on Twitter, and you're Joshua Teehee.
I am.
There you go. And,
all right. Well,
and Clint Olivier just followed me on the Fresnan, so okay, I'm pretty much in now.
All right.
Good.
Next, we don't have time now, but next time let's talk about that Smart and Final, because it
opened. Oh yeah, they got street names in the registers. Oh, people are going batshit over it, huh?
Yeah, they love it.
Ooh,
you know, wide aisles and clean or whatever. I don't know. So
we'll see how long that lasts.
All right. In the meantime, I will count us out: 5, 4, 3, 2.
Who cares? Nobody cares.
Yeah.